Okay, good evening. It's Motzei Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim, the 21st of February. The subject I'd like to address this evening is something that comes up from time to time, especially in shuls and in Batei Medrash, but even perhaps in private situations as well, and that is the question of borrowing something to use for the purpose of a mitzvah, but without the permission of the person who owns the item. Let's say you come into shul, so there's a pair of tefillin there, and it belongs to somebody else in the shul, and you forgot your tefillin. Can you put on the tefillin? Or, as I say, comes up a lot of times in the Beis HaMedrash, there are svarim around which belong to private people. If they're the svarim that belong to the Beis HaMedrash, there's a different story, and they come to that at the end. But if there's svarim that belong to private people, so I want to look something up for a second, and I don't have that sefer with me, or whatever, it's not easily found where I am, and this person has it, so can I take it without that person's permission? The beginning of this discussion, it's worth noting that in the Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah presents a curious phrase. It says in Shmos Perakov Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalad, in Kesef Talva Esami, which we would be tempted to translate, if you shall lend money to people in my nation. And the Torah goes on to explain some of the details relating to the matter of halvah, of lending money. It mentions you're not allowed to charge interest, and there are certain rules relating to the holding of collateral on the loan and so on. So it sounds like the Torah is telling us, in kesef, if you happen to lend money, so these are the rules that are going to apply. But Rashi tells us right on the spot, in the name of Chazal, Rashi and Pasuk Avdal, B'dir Maschel, in kesef, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kol im v'im shebetor rishus. Generally speaking, throughout the Torah, whenever the Torah introduces something with the word im, aleph mem, im, if, it means this is an optional activity. But if you're going to do this, then X, Y, and Z pertain. Doesn't mean you have to do it. It's just that if you do this, so this is what you have to follow. However, Rashi goes on, the name of Yishmael, chutz migimel, with three exceptions. There are three places in the Torah where the Torah uses the word im, not to suggest something that is optional, the zeh echad mehem, and this is one of them. This is one of the exceptions to the rule, that it's not optional to lend money. It is, in fact, a mitzvah. One should lend money to people in need. We discussed last year, I think, Parshas Mishpatim, we discussed the whole topic of the mitzvah of halvah, the mitzvah to lend money. Obviously, it means if you're in a position to do so, but it's a mitzvah to lend money. Rashi here just has a brief presentation. For those who are interested, a lengthier presentation regarding the word im is found in Rashi, another mefarshim, at the end of last week's sedra, the end of Parshas Yisro, in Parakov Posakov Beis, it says there, v'im mizbach avonim ta'aseli. It sounds again, if you're going to build a mizbeach, an altar out of stone. But Rashi points out again, and there he goes into a little more detail from the Mechilta, from Yishmael, that this is one of the exceptions, not if you have to build a mizbeach. There's a mitzvah to build a mizbeach. And then the Torah proceeds to tell you how exactly you do it. So there, Rashi details the three situations where the word im means not if, but more like when. When you lend money, these are the arrangements. So that's what it means here. And I said there's a mitzvah to lend money to someone who needs it when you're in position to do so. The third one has to do with the Korban Omer. It's the im minchas bikurim. So it mentions the Korban Omer, something you have to bring. So those are the three. And Rashi, in the end of Parshas Yisro, enumerates all three. But this is one of them. And Aris said, im kesem tal v'esami. It doesn't mean if you lend money, but when you lend money. It's a mitzvah to lend money. The Or HaChaim, or the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, like they say, has an explanation. Why does the Torah, in other words, we know that that's the Joshua's Chazal, so why does the Torah use the word if? That's the old question. You know, there are different levels of interpretation in Torah. But we have to try and understand the pshat must mean something. In other words, the pshat is, the word im does mean if. So agam, that the Torah Shebaal Peh tells us that if means in this case when, so why does he use the word im? So he has, he writes, Lomi yadaber Hashem b'derech sofek mokom hadai. Why use something that casts doubt on something when you can say it just as clearly with other words? That's his issue. So he goes on to explain an interesting Or HaChaim. He says that you know, the if is, if you're wondering, how could it be? Sometimes a certain person has so much money, and another person doesn't have any money. So how, you know, and you wonder, you know, how does this happen? Why do HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everybody. So why does he take care of this person that way, and the other person this way? So he goes on to say that sometimes you may have a person who, because of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is structured, deserves to get his parnosa with more difficulty. He has to borrow money. He has to be involved in, you know, dealing with other people and so on to get loans. So, in kesef talves ami, he says at the end, v'zeh omer, in kesef talves ami, pirish, im ra'isa shahaylecha kesef yosa masha tatzorech la'atzmecha, if you find that you have more money than you really need, and some of us do find that sometimes. I mean, we always need money, but when a person finds that he has more than he really needs to live off of, Okay, then know that she'ain de chelak hamigiyacha el chelak achem shehu anima. Im kesef talve es ami, it really belongs to the other guy. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to you to be mezakeh you to lend it. Okay, that's the drasha from the Or HaChaim. But in any event, we know that there is a mitzvah to lend money. And this mitzvah, just again, we spoke about it last year, so I'm not going to go into detail now. But the mitzvah is outlined in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, in Choshen Mishpat Simon Sadi Zayim. Sif Aleph, the Mechaber begins, Mitzvahs Aseh Lahalvos L'Aniyah Yisrael. It's a Mitzvahs Aseh. It's one of the Tayag Mitzvahs that a person who has money should be willing to lend it. Now, if you look, that's the Mitzvah. Now, if you look carefully at the Pasuk, and again, or even not that carefully, it says, In Kesef Talveh Esami. And it sounds like when we talk about lending, we're talking about lending money. What about lending other things besides money? Sometimes people need other things. They want to borrow a car. You want to borrow a lawnmower. You want to borrow a cup of sugar. Whatever the other things that people may want to borrow. So here it's interesting. There's a Gemara in Sukkah on the Mem Testament base where the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, v'shlosh advarim gedola gemilas chasadim yosem min atztaka. There are three ways in which gemilas chasadim, doing acts of kindness on behalf of others, is even greater than the mitzvah of tztaka. And one of them is because gemilas chasadim is bein lani and bein lashirim, right? You can do gemilas chesed for the rich person and for the poor person, but you don't give tztaka to a rich person. Tztaka is only given to a poor person. And one of the things is, another one is that gemilas chasadim is bein begufo, bein bemamono, gemilas chesed is with you physically. You can do chesed for somebody, you help somebody, you carry something for somebody, and tztaka is only with mamono. But gemilas chesed is also bemamono. And Rashi writes, the Dibur Maskel Ubimamono, towards the bottom of the page, Mal Velo Ma'os, what's the Gemilas Chesed of money? You lend a person Ma'os, and Mash'ilo Kelim Ubehema. You also lend him utensils that he needs, or if he needs an animal. And again, in our society, it'd be different things. But Rashi clearly is sort of equating, at least in regards to understanding Gemilas Chesed, Rashi is equating lending money with lending other things that a person might need. The Chofetz Chaim, in the Sefer Avos Chesed, no, I don't think so. That's what he needs something, I think. That's the question. So the Chofetz Chaim writes as follows. The Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Avos Chesed in the Dinei Mitzvos Halvot, that's the first chapter, first parak in the Sefer Avos Chesed, parak Aleph, in Sif Beis, the Chofetz Chaim writes, V'da'od, the first he writes, in Sif Aleph he writes, Mitzvah Semen HaTorah, L'vos L'aniyei Achenu, Shenemam Kesef Talves Ami, our Pasuk. Then in Sif Beis he writes, V'da'od, the Lav Davke Halvos Mos, Dehu Adin, the Mitzvah L'hashilo Kelev U'shar Chafotz of Keotze B'zeh. Chofetz Chaim writes, we should know that the mitzvah of lending is not only a mitzvah to lend money, but to lend, utensils, vessels, and other things that a person needs. This is all part of the acts of kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and it's not fine. In the Nesiv HaChesed in the bottom, in Osvav, Chofetz Chaim quotes Gemara B'Sukkah. He quotes that Gemara in Sukkah. That's the source that Gemilas Chesed is Bamono, and he says, take a look in Rashi, and Rashi says, you Mashilo Ma'osu Behema V'Kalim. So one could read the Chofetz Chaim as saying that just as there's a mitzvah of halvot to lend money, part of that mitzvah is also to lend other things. I'll point out the Or Sameach. Yeah.
But you mentioned that it's a part of
right. Oh, so that's
it's not a mitzvah of loaning.
Right. That's the question really. So Chavetz Chaim at that in other words, he says mitzvah semen atar lulubos laaniyei achenu, and that's in Sif Aleph, and Sif Beis, v'da'o, delav daf kavos mos, but other things. The question is, does he mean the other things also under halvor or not? That's the question. The Or Sameach says for sure not. The Or Sameach is in commenting on the Rambam in Perek Vov of Hilchos Nedarim, Halacha Tes Zayin. He's talking about somebody who made a neder not to deal with another person. But anyway, he writes, Uladidim Nira Dezer Poshut, the halvor mitzvahs asei in Kesef Talve. Lending money, halvor, that's a mitzvah asei from our Pasuk. Okay, that's a chova. A she'ela lo matzino. The reason we use different words. When we speak about lending money, we use the word halva, in kesef talveh. When it comes to borrowing, which is also in our sedra, by the way, okay, sedra also gives the chiyish al ish mereho, the person will borrow something. There, you're talking about other items, not money. So the Or Sameach writes, avol she'ela lo matzino. We didn't find any place that she'ela is a mitzvah to lend other things as a mitzvah by itself. The Chofetz Chaim, therefore, could be read as arguing with this Or Sameach, or like Jeff, what you're saying, the Chofetz Chaim doesn't mean it, because he says, Ka'kol b'midas ha-chesed. It's all under a more general heading of chesed. But anyway, there is some sort of a mitzvah up here. Whether you put it under chesed, you count it on the halva, okay, we can analyze it.
There's a mitzvah, then what's the question?
Right.
If it's a mitzvah to borrow, to lend somebody something who needs it, why there should be even a question whether they should be able to borrow that?
No.
Especially if it's not there anymore.
Oh, okay, so we'll come to that. We'll see. I just want to mention a couple of other things. The Chofetz Chaim points out again in the same Sefer Avos Chesed, this time in Perek Vav, Sifri Yudalid. He mentions Kol Dine Hakadima, Hanema Lamala, who Lav Dafka Al Halvo, about Shelas Kenem, and other things too. He lumps together. There are various rules when it comes to lending, like by Stalker also. You know, you should first, there's priorities. First is members of the family, then the poor people in the community, Eretz Yisrael, there are all kinds of rules of Kadima, who gets first. So he mentions, the Chofetz Chaim mentions that the same things apply to, same rules apply to lending. And, in Perek Chof Beis of the Sefer Avos Chesed, in Sif Aleph, the Chofetz Chaim writes, Hine beprokim shov rana din halvos kesev, v'ator nevar inyan shelos kelim, shegam zehu mitzvah. So again, he writes, Shagam Zehu Mitzvah. Again, whether it's the same mitzvah or not, but it's certainly a mitzvah to lend things. V'noveh Mibiras Chesed, and he quotes again the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Tes, as we said before with the Rashi. And then he mentions the point, Yanka, that you said, the Kol Shekein im Bechlio Behema Shishil Yuchel Harviach Matmos, Ahakas is Napsho. And especially if he needs what he's borrowing from you to, he can make money or he could use it for something to, you know, to improve his life. And so, Ian Golem Oud. Kimekayim Amashu Bezem Ashamar Kosov, Chiyamuch Achicha, Omoti Yodom Bechazaktabo. That's almost like in the Stoker of Bechazakta to help somebody up. So if you can lend him a thing that he's going to be able now to use for, you know, for making money or something, that's certainly, certainly a positive thing. And therefore, he says, "Inyan achesed as a yuchal kol ish l'kayim kushayach afilu b'dvarim nekalam konapu kvaro shar klei abayis oshelas masrek merchatz kol kai gavna." You can be kind of this mitzvah. Chofetz Chaim's very. You don't have to be a rich man to do this mitzvah. You get a person needs a kitchen utensil, something, any small thing. You can be mekayim this mitzvah. And he says, and therefore the reverse, the punishment is severe if you don't do it. He said, if you don't lend, because if a person comes, I need to borrow $1,000, and not everybody has $1,000 available right now to lend to somebody else, right? But if somebody asks for something small, right, everybody can give to somebody else. So even if you're not a wealthy person and you refuse to do it, so you're really not doing the right thing. So that's Chofetz Chaim develops there, and he mentions. And Sif Beis, that's what we'll get to for tonight. Because Zed Dibarn Linyan Shelas Kelim Ushar Chafotzim Shu Tova Rak Al Chaya Hazman. What we've been talking about till now is lending something which a person needs for material needs in this world. The Kol Shekein Shemitzul Ahashul Sefer L'Chaver Lilmodbo. How much more so is a mitzvah to lend somebody a sefer if he needs to borrow or some other item for a mitzvah? Shemeti v'muzeh lenetzach. That gives him eternal reward and it's a tremendous zuchus. And he puts that under bichlal mitzvahs hachzokas haTorah, right? And he's supporting Torah study. Anyway, so certainly a person should be willing to lend somebody, should be willing to lend somebody svarim and items for a mitzvah. So clearly there is a mitzvah to whatever mitzvah put it under to lend somebody something that he needs, and as the Chofetz Chaim points out, certainly if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. The issue, though, we need to look at is what if the person is not around to lend it to me, and it's true that he has a mitzvah to lend it to me, but he's not there. Am I allowed to take it without his permission and use it for a mitzvah? So here we find the following statement, the Gemara in Bava Basra, on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. It's commenting on a Mishnah. Mishnah says, talking about a case where somebody had he brought like a measuring utensil to, Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, he brought a measuring utensil to the store, and then the guy used it to measure out something else for someone else as well. Anyway, the Gemara introduces here something we've probably heard of, and that is and it's a machlokes in the Mishnah between the Chachon and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara explains, at least as one possibility, that the nature of machlokes, we don't have to go into the details, but the root of the machlokes is the question of Shoel Shalomidas. Shoel Shalomidas is when you borrow something without the other person knowing about it. And the Gemara says, Shoel Shalomidas, come if you get Mar Savar Shoel Havi, Mar Savar Gazlan Havi. There's one opinion that says that if you borrow something without the other person's permission, then you are considered like a Gazlan, a thief. Because who says he would have allowed it? Maybe he would have had certain conditions or whatever else. The Gemara says, according to one opinion, the person is considered a gazlan. And this is a phrase that appears in a number of different Gemaras as well. Well, so first of all, we'll have to see. I mean, there's that alone. Let me just read two things more quickly, and then I'll come back to that point. Just to see a couple of other makaros quickly on the Gemara and Bava Metzia on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. On Daf Mem Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara also, the Gemara also mentions this concept of Shol Shalom in another context. The Gemara also has a statement that Kosovar Shol Shalom Das Gazlan Havi. Another opinion, the Gemara again explaining another din uses that background material that Shol Shalom Das is considered a Gazlan. And again, on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara says, the Gemara suggests that it may be Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel at first, and then it says it's not so. The Gemara suggests Beis Shammai Sabi Shol Shalom Das Gazlan Hu, and Beis Hillel Sabi Shol Shalom Das is not a Gazlan, he's just like a regular borrower. In any event, this is a phrase that we find in a number of places, Shol Shalom Das Gazlan Hu. The Rif in Bava Metzia, on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, in the pages of the Rif on the bottom, right before the Mishnah, the Rif writes, Hilchasa Shoel Shalom Das Gazlan Havi. Period. A Shol Shalom Das is considered a Gazlan. Yeah.
Now the issue of Nenev
Zelokhoser. Okay, that comes into that, but I can't do that right now.
As far as that doesn't make any issue.
Well, we're going to see about Choser. We'll see. I'm not presenting that context, but we'll see. We'll see. But it does play a role. But that's the Gemara. Shol Shalom Das Gazlan. What Nachman's referring to is we have also Gemara in Bava Kama and other places where, you know, somebody gained something.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, depends. Well, I'm not going to get into that particular point, but but we'll see where something chaser applies. We've got the whole roll. Anyway, so that's the Gemara's conclusion, the Rif's conclusion, Shol Shalom Das Gazlan. Now that status has two rails.
Doesn't Gazlan mean with force?
No one. Yeah, so that's another question. So the Achonim did, why does it say Gazlan, not Ganav? Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question. Allah's referring to the fact that usually a Gazlan is somebody who steals, you know, openly and by force, as opposed to a Ganav who sneaks in. So I saw one of the Achonim says, I didn't bring it, one of the, there's a sefer called Pischei Choshen by a contemporary Talmud Chacham. So he has like 8 volumes on Choshen Mishpat Yonim. It's one of these things where there's 2 lines on the top and the rest is all Mamre Kamos on the bottom. So he has, some of the Mamre Kamos are from that sefer. I looked in a few places. So he quotes somebody who brings that issue up and says, Yochanami, it will depend how the guy got it. Whether it'll say Shol Shalom Das Gazlan or Shol Shalom Das Ganav will depend, just like by Gnaim and Gzela. Anyway, this din of Shol Shalom Das Gazlan really, you know, has 2 ramifications, one of which we're not going to look into at all. One ramification is the person's violating an iser, right? Then, on top of that, there's a further question, what responsibility flows from this status? In other words, there is a din, if I steal something and then, you know, the item gets lost, so I have chiyuvim, in other words, in terms of replacing it. Right, absolute responsibility, as opposed to other shomrim. We know, again, in this week's sedra, there's different status. There are a number of situations where one may have property belonging to somebody else. Either he gave it to you to watch, or he hired you to watch it, or you rented it from him, or you borrowed it from him. And there are different levels of responsibility depending on the circumstances. That's really at the root of the machlokas, where the shol shalom das is considered like a regular shoel, or is it considered like a gazim, or is additional chiyuvim. Yeah.
Then becomes very interesting whether anything becomes mitzvah b'avera.
Yeah, that's going to we'll touch on that a little bit too. There's a big subject as I found researching it, but I'm just trying to give Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam paskins in Parag Gimel Hilchos Gzeila v'Aveda Halacha Tezvon. The Rambam openly says Hashol Shalom Midas Habalim Harezer Gazlan. Finished. The Rambam says, like the Rib, a person is Shol Shalom Midas Habalim Harezer Gazlan, and the Magid Mishnah explains. The Magid Mishnah writes that this is the Machlokas and Baba Basra Daf Peches, I just mentioned before. The Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Gemara presents it as the backdrop to the Machlokas and Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara again is on Peches and Aleph, commenting on the Mishnah on Peches and Beis. So the Gemara says that the backdrop to the Machlokas and the Mishnah is this issue, Uposuk Chachamim, and it works out that the Chachamim are the ones in the Mishnah who hold that, if according to that line of thinking in the Gemara, the Chachamim, the one who holds the Shol Shalom Midas, is considered a Gazlan. So it's a Chachamim against the Yehuda. We pass that the Chachamim, and he says, "V'chein kosav arav zal b'hilchos sham uperek hamafkid mitzias." So paskins the Rif, like we saw. That's what it says: Shol Shalom Midas Gazlanu. It appears as well in the Shulchan Aruch in a number of places. In a couple of places, I'll do it in order, I guess. Because it comes up kind of incidentally in a couple of places. In Choshen Mishpat, Simon Reish Tzadi Beis, and Se'if Aleph. So that's talking about where the person has a pikod and he has something by him and he uses it, and he wasn't supposed to use it. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, just as a given. Element Nei Shehu Shor Shalom Midas Tahavi Kegazlan. I only read the end of the line of Shulchan Aruch. He's talking about something else, but again, the Shulchan Aruch is assuming Tahavi Shor Shalom Element Nei Shehu Shor Shalom Midas Tahavi Kegazlan. Such a person is like a gazlan. And again, in the Simon Shin Nun Tes, in the Choshen Mishpat still, Shin Nun Tes, Seif Hey, a one-line Mechaber, Afilu Halokech B'She'ela Shalom Midas Habalim Nikra Gazlan. One line, very simple, straightforward. Even if you borrow something, and borrowing means you're going to return it, not keeping it. You borrow something from somebody else, and the Baal doesn't know about it, you're considered a Gazlan. So that's over there, and again, in Simon Shin Samach Gimel, there are probably other places, but these are the ones I came across, in Simon Shin Samach Gimel, Sif Hey, the Mechaber also writes, also has in Yorla B'Torah's Gezer, V'hu Adin Im Notla Aldaas Shela Shalom Midas Gazan Havi. Says again, Shol Shalom Midas Gazan Havi. So therefore, it's clear, I mean, again, we saw it in the Gemara, we saw it in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, that this is the rule that Shol Shalom Midas is considered like a Gazan, and therefore, that's the Din. So to summarize quickly, after two things now we have to sort of analyze. Right, we mentioned there's a mitzvah of halvor. The Chofetz Chaim says that the mitzvah includes whether it's the same mitzvah, a different mitzvah. There's also a mitzvah not only to lend money, but a mitzvah to give somebody something else. The Chofetz Chaim says especially svarim and things that a person can use for a mitzvah. But the question is, what if a person takes it without the permission of the Baal? So here we see in general, so far we didn't see anything specific about mitzvahs. We see in general that borrowing something from somebody else is considered, that you're considered to be like a gazlan. So as I said before, that status of a gazlan has two ramifications. One, you're a gazlan, and you're violating an issur in the Torah. And number two, there are certain responsibilities in terms of chiyuvim, so we're not going to talk about the chiyuvim at this point. So there is an interesting tshuva. There's an interesting tshuva from the Rif, just in terms of the status. And the tshuva of the Rif refers to our topic, but he mentions something, parenthetically, but something which has direct bearing on what we just talked about. And that is, what do we mean when we say a person's a gazlan? Shol Shalom Midas Gazlan. Mamish? Is like a gazlan? Is all the dinim of a gazlan, whatever status? Huh? Yeah, all those things. So the Rif has a tshuva. It's printed in the Shal Shuvas HaRif in the first section, Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel. The question is as follows. Echad min ha-talmidim, one of the students in the yeshiva, gonav sifrei perushin l'chaver, he stole a certain sefer from his friend, uchshetobo mimenu, and when the other guy said, give me back my sefer, nishba shvur chamura, he swore, shalo yach zyenelo ad sheyatiko sam. He wants the first copy what's in there. A contemporary example, let me go to the photocopy machine and photocopy. But in those days, you had to do it by hand, so it's going to take a little longer. Right? But he said, I want to copy down what's in the sefer, I'm not going to return it. He's going to return it eventually. He doesn't, I'm not going to keep it, but right now he needs it because he wants to copy it over. And the Rif writes, V'yesh mishahor shemutter, the gunman. And somebody apparently paskin that is mutter to do such a thing. So the Rif writes, Agone v'hamora kulam to. The person, the guy who did it, the yeshiva guy who did it, and whoever told him was mutter, made a mistake. Shalom kidin asu. Shazesh shahor shemutter lasus kain domelo mishum shemislamid. Divei Torah shi mitzahi. Presumably, the guy who told him was mutter thought, well, it's for a mitzvah, right? It's for a good reason, and he's going to give it back. So he probably figured, okay, so it's for a mitzvah, I'll give it back tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow, give it back next week. Since it's for a mitzvah, perhaps it should be mutter, because as we said, there seems to be a special Indian. The Chofetz Chaim said, Navas Chesed Perchav Beis, and said, Beis, you should lend something for a mitzvah. He said, but it's not right. He says, V'toa, mishum sh'omar, lulva gozo v'yovesh posel, v'ikmar lo mishum de mitzvah bo v'avera, hamokom sona, shenemar ki Hashem oiv mishpat sonei gezo ba'olen son. And Nachum alluded to it before, the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, you don't want to steal that. If something's stealing, so you can't steal for your, I'm doing it for a mitzvah, doesn't make a difference, right? Lulva gozo. You don't want to steal something just and give an excuse just for a mitzvah. Hilchach, whoever passing like this is making a mistake, and he says, "Vagoned Yeshalov Gimel Lavin." This guy who took it is violating three lavin. Echad mishum goned, echad mishum shenishba shelo yachzo sam, v'havale over al divrei Torah and so on, and echad mishum gezel. Okay, how he did it. But the point of the matter is that the Rif says he violates this isser, and he seems to say, since he says he's over on a lav, it looks from this tshuva like the Rif takes the phrase shol shalom midas gazlan hu. Literally, it's a law. You're violating one of the Tariq mitzvahs and finished. And that's how the Rif seems to say. And he says it's not correct. Interestingly, in the, just for, someone has the Tshuvas HaRashboa, the Tshuvas HaRifa, less popular, those have the Tshuvas HaRashboa, the same Tshuva appears in the end of Chelek Vov, of the Tshuvas HaRashboa, Simon Reish Pei Vov. It's attributed to the Rif. And it's basically the same Lashon. So you have, I guess, and I don't know if it means that the Rashboa agreed to this, or why it was printed here, I'm not sure the historical background, but maybe it did. So that's the Indian that according to the Rif for sure, and perhaps the Rashboa is agreeing, that Shol Shalom Bidas, Gazlan, is a literal statement. You're mamish violating a law. Yeah.
That's the worst case, because
yeah.
He wanted to give it back.
Right, that's true. Right, okay. Right, but he said at the time he stole it, you read it, God said both things, yeah. I'll just point out that the the Shulchan Aruch, which is fine. Not everybody holds. Just give me a second. Yes, and not everybody holds that the status of a Goslin is 100%. I thought I'd marked it off. Just a second. Oh, look over here. The Nesivas HaMishpat in Hoshim Mishpat in Simon Shin Ches quotes from the Nesivas HaMishpat in the Biurim, Mishpat HaKon in Biurim, in Sivkot and Dalid. He writes, in talking about Shol Shalom Midas, he quotes the Shita Mekubetzes, who says, Shol Shalom Midas, the Absalom Niskaven Livzo Haguf, Rabbonon Shavinu Kegazlam. So the Sivas over there seems to say, perhaps, against this Tshuvas HaRif, I don't know if it's a Machokes, or he meant that, you know, maybe the cases are different than what Lai was saying, and there's another Sivas, I just forgot to mark it off in Simon Lamed Dalad, but, okay. But, anyway, the, so it seems to be that perhaps it's a question whether it should be, whether it's actually mamish like a Goslin or it's not quite like a Goslin. Okay. Anyway, just a couple of other ha'oros in connection with this. The Machne Ephraim is written sort of as a commentary to the Rambam, but it's not really. It just follows the order of the Rambam. He mentions another question of what the status of the person is. So in Hilchos Gzeilos, Simon Yud Ches, the Machne Ephraim writes, the Shol Shalom Midas Havi Gazlan, the Ika Plugtor may Amos Mishayev Zekadin Gazlan. At what point do you become a Gazlan? When you take it or when you use it? You know, and Nafkamin is being, again, what's the status? The Tur Zal Kosa Dom Mishayba Chishtamishba. Okay? The Tur says you're not really violating until you actually use the item. But he mentions, but Tosas and other Rishonim, and he says the Ramban and many others, the Ashbor, the Vitor, disagree, and they say no, it's the moment you take it. That's one thing I'm not going to find, huh? Because what's this? The Issa may not be till you use it. I mean, it has a raya from the Gemara like that. Yeah.
What do you mean? I mean, it's
right, but that's what I'm saying. Right, but that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What's the definition of gazelle?
Right, but that's the point here.
So how could it be anything less than literal?
Well, so that's what I'm saying. If you don't take, because it's plenty to give it back.
So you can't be a shoel.
Right, but what I'm saying is, according to, it looks like I'm not going to find, like according to those we've shown, and maybe the term shoel shalom das gazlan does not follow necessarily. I'm saying that could be an afkamina. In other words, when we say shoel shalom das gazlan, does it mean you follow all the exact same rules as gazlan or not? You know, maybe it's just a term. You know,
what's a gazlan?
No, a gazlan is something when you take it to keep it.
The time you took it.
Yeah, but you're planning
so
to keep it.
How do you know if someone's a gazlan or shoel? Depends on his kavana.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, like Klapi Shmaya, for sure, no?
Klapi Shmaya, depending on his kavanah.
The Gemara has, the Gemara has one opinion that says Shol Shalom Midas is not a Gazlan.
How could that be? If you don't have permission, by definition, you're a Gazlan.
No, but maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means you don't have permission, so it's wrong, but you're not a Gazlan. It could be also it's not a Gazlan.
Then what's the definition of Gazlan?
Right, you have an intent to return. I think it goes
and
by your intent.
Same thing with Gnadel?
Maybe. Well, then it wouldn't be a Gnadel. That's what it means.
I mean, the Rambam says in the beginning.
But that's the point. Once you're going
to. You're not allowed to steal, even on intention to return.
As a joke, right.
Even
as a joke.
Right. So,
we'll have to see. Anyway, that's what he wants to say. So that's one possibility. A couple other things I want to read from the Machane Ephraim, having seen that. That's in Simon Yuches. In Simon Chof, he writes, Kosovitzvah. Okay, and again, what I'm trying to point out here, based on his Machaneh Efron, at least that he has Raya's and Rishonim, but according to some Rishonim, it's not an automatic equation. That's what I'm trying to demonstrate, necessarily. So in Simon Chav, for example, he writes, Kosav Reitzvah B'Shem Ramban, D'chi Amu Shol Shomidaz Gazan Havi, Irei B'midi, D'ai Di D'metaltele Epsher D'tishover O Irabo Nezek. The Ilu B'Dover She'iav Shalo D'Nezek B'Tutue, Lekka L'man D'Amar Shol Shomidaz Gazan Havu. The whole Ovid level on midi. Okay? In other words, you see, by the way, you could also say in answer to your question, I was thinking, the question is, what if I borrow it out from permission, use it, and I put it back, and nothing happened to it, then what's my status? So that could be enough community. In other words, if I borrow something without permission, I use it, you were out of town. I came back, by the time you came home, it was in the exact same place on the shelf where it was before, no damage, nothing happened to it. We still can, there's an example.
Intent to keep.
So that's what he says. So again, I have the following chiluk. The Ritvo, the name of Ramban, the Chiamu Shol Shomdas Gazan. I've Ari B'Midi the Ari the Metaltele. It's talking about the type of item that by moving it, by using it, it's fragile or it's whatever. It might break or might get ruined. The Ilu B'Dover She Efsha Lovely Day Nezik B'Tultule Lekalaman Damar Shol Shomdas Gazan. I've Dohalo Avile. I didn't do anything. On the other hand, Avol, he says, other Rishonim disagree. Av Midiva Hatos is near him. Tasha Cholkim Azev, the Sfil Dafila Midi Diyev Shalobili De Kilkul Shol Shom Vidaz Gazan Havi. So it's another possible Machokas. And he says again, he quotes others. Gam Midiva Ritvo Hed Yamin, quoted by the Muke Yosef. In Parakamochas Asfino, we mentioned before, near Dafila Bidover Diyev Shalobili De Kilkul Shol Shom Vidaz Gazan Havi. So again, it could be Machokas Rishonim revolving around the question of how literally and how, strictly do we view this equation. And finally, okay, another condition or another point in Simon Chof Aleph, the Machaneh Efraim points out, Kosav Ramban, Beferish Bo Dvorah, Beshitas or Betzalazal, the Lo Mischaev Mishum Shol Shalom Midas, Elahecha de Chol Hana Oso Shalom. It's only a problem if in the case of Shol Shalom Midas, you, the borrower, quote unquote, is getting all the benefit. But if somehow there's something that is benefit, that somehow there's benefit drawn to the bialim from it also, from the fact that you used it, I don't know, somehow they improved it, or sometimes, I'm trying to think of an example, let's say a car in the wintertime, if he's away, and it got very cold, so are you driving it to actually help the car somehow, because, you started the engine going, or something along those lines. So, huh?
You broke in the base.
Something like that, right? Use it, now it's better. So you can figure out examples, so that again, according to at least one sheet of Mishon, the Machaneh Efraim quotes, it'll make a difference. So therefore, it comes out, at least according to some Rishonim, that's what I'm trying to demonstrate, that there are chilukim. It's not so, that's not necessarily against the rip. It could still be that you're violating a law. But I'm just pointing out that the equation of Shol Shom Hadas equals Gazlan is not necessarily for equating it in all circumstances. Okay. Now, we'll try and bring it over to our, to our discussion. We'll read from the Sefer, Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Rav Balatanya, writes the following. He says,
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If somebody is a shomer, so he gets the object permissibly.
Yeah.
And then he uses it for himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Ram even says Poshea Kamazik.
Right.
So now this fellow got it without permission, and he's using it. So
right, okay.
Not any less.
Okay, so maybe he's not less. No, so let's understand that even if he, of the Arba Shomrim, the Shoel is the highest of the, in terms of level of responsibility. So even if Shoel Shomi Das is no more than a Shoel, but he still has the higher level of Chiyuv. So, even higher than I think within a Poshea would have. The question is, I didn't really look into, and we're not going to go into the issue of what the Chiyuvim are. And so I'm just trying to talk about in terms of violet. It was, I don't know, does somebody say that that Poshea is, that the...
Is a
yeah, it's like a Gazan. It's like a Gazan. I don't know.
Shlichus,
Shlichus Bikaron, Shlichus is. But that's what I mentioned before. So we had the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Tzadi Beit. I read it before. The Ein Hanifkad Rishai Lusoch Gad Bikaron. Right, that's the Reish Tzadi Beit Sif Aleph. And at the end, that where he mentioned, depending on what happens, There's a Shol Shlom Da topic of Gazlan. So there are distinctions. Let me just go on. Again, this is a complicated area, and we're not, you know, it's a Chosh Mish, but in general it's difficult, and, you know, because by definition there's so many different possibilities with the cases. I'm just trying to give some general comments. So in the Hilchus, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in the Chosh Mishpat volume, in Hilchus She'ela, it's actually Hilchus She'ela Usuris Chasim, he mixes a few things together. So in Dinah, so he mentions in Siv Hey, the dinim of Shoel, he says, So you're not allowed to go even to read a sefer by somebody else. You go into another guy's house, okay, and to read his sefer, even on, you know, once in a while, just to do it without his permission. And he says, and certainly not to use shar chafotz of elim kenya dualo bedirur shalo yakpid al of bala chafetz. So now we have a new thing brought up, and actually the Sma mentions this as well. The Miras Einayim over there in that simon that I just referred to in Simon Reish Sadi Beis in Choshen Mishpat, in Sif Katan Dalad, he throws another distinction in. He says, Mashma delo ayri ele bedover she'ein habala makpidin al tashmishon. We're talking about something where the owner, there might be a difference with the owner, he doesn't mind if people use it. You don't mind if somebody uses it, below Rishus. The high God and the low Mikri Gazlan. Okay, because not called the Gazan. Well, again, I mean, if he's not there, he's not there. But if we know, so anyway, getting back to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he says, Elim King Odeilo Bebid. That's the question. How sure do you have to be? You know, so, and how do you know that he doesn't care? But anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes, again, now you come to the general question. Do people usually makpid? You go by what the majority of people do, and that may depend on where you are. I remember many years ago I was leading a teenage tour. So we were in cross-country United States. So we had we were in California and other places out west. So we had a bus driver who was from Iowa, Idaho, or someplace like Idaho, further west. And he was telling us, we came into one of the cities, I think it was San Francisco, and which is a city like New York, for those who haven't been there. So we were driving through the town, and there was one of these big dumpsters, and you know, we happened to be driving by, and the dumpster had like a big lock around, like a big chain and a lock around it. So this guy said to me, he was a real hick of a guy, he said to me, boy, in the city, I see they even lock up the garbage, you know. So I said, that's what it looked like, a huge dumpster with a lock and chain around, you know. So I said, I guess you don't lock things. He goes, he lives out in his farm someplace in Idaho. He never locks anything. He said, if I come home one day and my pickup is gone, I don't worry about it. It means one of the neighbors borrowed it. I'll bring it back tomorrow, the next day. So, you know, that's what he was saying. He didn't think twice about it. You know, he said, if something's missing from his house, he's not worried about it. It means some of the neighbors came over and they'll bring it back tomorrow. He goes to the neighbor's house, takes this stuff too. So I guess it depends on, you know, I wouldn't wash around here, I don't think, too well. Location. But, what?
Location.
You had to look exactly. That's what he said. That's the minute, you know. So anyway, getting back to, so I don't know how you have to figure out, I guess, in each area, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, Elim Ken Yadulo Babirsho Yakulo Balachosu Dovish Ain Derek Koban, other Lakbilo of Klaub, Mifne Shain Chash Hefsi Bikilkul Klaub Batash Mizah Aval, Dovish Shemitzis Benelda Makpino of Nechash Kilkul. If there's some people who are nervous about it, Apple Pisha Ruba Ain Makmidin, about other people, so then Ain Hochim Mazaharov, if it's the type of thing that may break. You have all these different, you know, all these different rules. You have to figure out, you know, what it is in each case. Anyway, that's the idea thrown in. It's interesting, you know, by the Shulchan Aruch Harav in the Maharil, the Sefer Maharil, we quote all the time, the Maharil in the Likutim. At the end of the Sefer Maharil, it has like a collection of different things there's a bunch of random different dinim that the Maharil said at different times. So he says, so widespread meaning that people borrow things without other people knowing. Apparently the practice in Germany, wherever the Maharil exactly was, whatever city he was in, so he said the minig was that people borrowed certain things, and again, this Talmud who was putting together these likutim from the Maharil said that they didn't mind, that it's okay. Again, a minig poshut means in this case, widespread, spread out, the widespread meaning. Okay?
They have someone else.
Someone else using my thing for it. Well, it wasn't just that talking about a mitzvah. This is benefiting. I'm okay. Another year, it's benefiting. Like this guy, like this driver, right?
Yeah.
Another, right, right. That's what it comes down to. Okay, now in terms of, specifically in terms of mitzvah issues, so we come to the following question in Gemara Bava Metzia. Gemara Bava Metzia, Rav Chof Tesman Beis discusses this case. It, the Mishnah actually discusses, talking about Sifrei Torah, and the Gemara says as follows. Chof Tesman Beis. Omar Mar, Hashoel Sefer Torah, well, before we get to Omar Mar, we'll say Tanar Bonan, Hashoel Sefer Torah Mechavero, if a person borrows a Sefer Torah with permission, we're talking about. In those days, people had Sefer Torah. We have Sfarms, they had a Sefer Torah. Many people had their own Sefer Torah. And it's the right one's own Sefer Torah. So Hashoel Sefer Torah Mechavero, Hareza Lo Yash Ilenu La'acher. You can't then, sub-lend it, to somebody else without the other person's permission. So that's the line in the Braisa, and the Gemara says, Omar Mar, Hashol Sedom Chaver, Hariz Eloshon Acher. Okay, so the Gemara asks, my ear is Sefer Torah. Why do you have to mention specifically Sefer Torah? Feel a kol milinami. Anything. It's not just a din in a Sefer Torah, right? The Omar Shimon Lokesh Khan Shon Rebbe Ain Hashol Shoyli Lahashil. The general rule that a shoel is not, if I borrow some of you, whatever it is, a lawnmower, I can't lend it to somebody else without your permission. Vena socher rishay lahaskir. Okay, and the same thing if I rent it, I can't sub-rent it to sublet it to somebody else. Right? Yep. So the Gemara says, why do you mention Sefer Torah? So it says, no, Sefer Torah, it's Nichole. I have to specifically mention Sefer Torah. Why? Ma'od teima Nichole le'inish de tabet mitzvah mamonei. I might have thought that we can have kind of general assumption that the guy wouldn't mind. What's the other guy want to borrow the Sefer Torah to learn from? He's going to do a mitzvah. He's not going to, not using it to decorate the living room. He's going to learn from it. So, ma'u de teima nichole le inish de tebet mitzvah monay. I might have thought that a person is okay. It's nichole. He's going to not mind. There's going to be an implicit consent, so to speak, that someone else is going to do a mitzvah with my property. I feel great. So many different people are using my Sefer Torah. People buy a Sefer Torah for the shul. They want it to be read from all the time. You want people to use it, not that it should sit in the back and they'll take it away on some kustara. Right? You want it to be used. So nichole. So I might have thought. So Gemara says, Kamashon, no. Kamashon is still not allowed to sublet it. That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Choftes, Amud Beis. Now, And this is, okay. Right, which we're going to come to maybe at the very end.
That's the only sheet in the Gemara.
That's the Gemara there. In Psachim, I think so. In the Gemara in Psachim, Dav Dalam Beis, we have something else. The Gemara in Psachim has the case where a person's talking about the person, Ibailhu, Hamaskir Bais Lechavero, the Cheskas Bodok. Okay, and then the whole discussion, when did he rent it? Right before Pesach he rented. And when I rented it from the owner, it was understood that it had already been examined, there was already no chametz in there. I got a hotel, whatever. So it's the cheskas that it was bodur, right? Umatzo she'ena bodur, and he walks and he finds breadcrumbs around. So mahu, can I go back now? Mi havi kemekach tos alo? Can I go back to the guy that's fraud? Mekach tos means the whole deal's off because do I have the right to do this? What do you mean? You're supposed I don't have the time now to go doing a whole bedikas chametz. You're where the deal was like this. Is that a mekach tos or not? So the Gemara says toshma the amar abaye lomer boy ba'asu lo havi agra ubadko de nichalei leinish lekum mitzvah gufe. Certainly, if the minig is that people do bedika and they clean up themselves, so what do you mean? It's certainly not a mekach tos because the person wants to be able to do a mitzvah. La filu ba'asu the yada agro badko the nicholei leinish lekiyume mitzvah b'mamonei. The Gemara here in Psachim seems to say nicholei leinish. That seems what it says. The nicholei leinish lekiyume mitzvah b'mamonei. A person is okay spending money for the purpose of a mitzvah. So even if he's going to have to hire a cleaning person to come in and clean out the room, but nichole, it's okay, and it's not a mekach tos, because nichole, the nichole le'inshi le'kiyum mitzvah mamone. So at first glance, just without looking into too much detail, seems to be a steer, because the Gemara B'Metzia, Chof Tesman Beis says, no, you can't lend out a Sefer Torah that you borrowed from somebody else to a third party without that person knowing, because I might have thought that it's okay, but once Kamashman, it's not okay. We don't say nichole le'inish le'kiyum mitzvah mamone, and yet the Gemara B'Sachim, the Dalam Beis says, So that's where the fun starts. That's the problem, and it's not just the problem in the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalid, the Rambam writes, "The ein hashoel rishoy lahashil. A shoel cannot, a borrower cannot then lend it to somebody else. Afilu shol sefer Torah, shekol hakorba osa mitzvah, and even by a sefer Torah, I mean, again, this is parak alaf of hilchus schiris halacha dalet, even by a sefer Torah that you're going to lend to somebody else, but lo yashanach is still not allowed to do it. So says the Rambam. And yet, of course, when it comes to hilchus Pesach, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchus Chometz Umatzah Halacha Yudches Hamaskir Bayis Lechavero. Okay, and again, when it was, but he says Hamaskir Bayis Bechezkas Shu Baduk. He rents the house on the assumption it has already been examined for Chometz. V'nimsa Sheino Baduk Ala Socher Livdo Greino Mekach Kolos. The Socher, the guy who rented from the owner, has to do the Bedikas Chometz because it's not a Mekach Tos. V'afilu B'mokum Shabotkin B'schar. Even if he has to hire someone else to do it, Shari Mitzvah Oseh, because the Mitzvah. What do you mean? He's going to growl about extra. Oh, okay, good. So that's the problem. So again, looking at it straight, it appears to be a stira. I'll just mention, just quickly to be complete about it. It's like that in the Shulchan Aruch too. Okay, I won't. But in the Shulchan Aruch as well, we have we have the din that in Choshen Mishpat it says that you're not allowed to lend in terms of the Sefer Torah. It's in Siman Shin Mem Beis of Choshen Mishpat. Ein Hashol Rishay LaHashil Afilu Shol Sefer Torah Shol Sefer Mitzvah Rishay Laso Ein Rishay LaHashil Achirim. And but in Hilchus in Hilchus Pesach it's in the Tof Lamed Zayin of Or HaChaim Sif Gimel. Amaskir Bayis Chaver Becheskus Bodok Vinim Sashena Bodok Al Asok Livdok Vena Mekachtos Vafilu Mokum Shebodkin B'schar Shar Mitzvah Oseh. The Ramo pipes up there and says Yesh Omer Mitzorach LaHachzos Schar Bedika. Okay, a question exactly what the agreement was from before. Details of Hilchos Pesach. So we have a possible stira. So how do we resolve the stira? So this we've shown him, and everyone deals with that. Basically, as Yankee said, obviously we have to find a distinction between the two cases as to why in one place the Gemara's assumption is that a person's not ready to let his items be used even for a mitzvah. The other case, his money, and another case where it is. So we have the following. In the Chidushi HaRitva on Bav Metzia, I'll mention in the beginning, the Chidushi HaRitva on Bav Metzia in this here old edition, the original edition that when we were in Yeshiva we had, this is before they came out, there's something else that they came out with, about 30, maybe even 40 years ago already in the 60s, I think, called the Chidushi HaRitva Chadoshim on Bav Metzia. And then Moshe Rav Kook came out with the whole, the brown cover. I mention this for a reason. In the introductory, on the title page of this Chidush HaRitva on Bav Metzia, so it says as follows. Miuchos lechad migaone kadmoi. It really is written by one of the earlier Gaon, one of the Rishonim. Kemifursam b'chol ha-poskim Rishonim ha-chonim zal ki hu mitalmidei ha-ra'o v'ha-rashbo. So the Talmidim of the Ra'o and the Rashbo. V'ha-gon chido zal b'shem ha-gdolim chelek alav osyud. The chido, who has a little sefer, I have it in the other one, I didn't bring it up, it's called Shem HaGedolim, where he has basically two sections in the Chidor. He has the first section, one of the sections is, lists off all the names of all the, everybody that lived up until then that he knew about, which is pretty much everybody, and said who they were, a little bit of background, just a paragraph or two about each person, and then he has the Svarim, it's all the names of the Svarim that he knew. Today he'd have to triple in size. But anyway, V'ha-gon ha-chidor zal b'shem ha-gdolim chelek ha-vazud nistapik b'zeh im ha-chidushim l'sechas b'metzia heim me-ha-ritvo ha-yadua. These were, first it says this with Talmidim and the Ra'o and the Rashbo, that's true about the Ritva too. But he mentions here in this introductory page that the Chidor is not sure whether this Chidush HaRitva that's printed as a standard Chidush was actually written by the Ritva we all know well. Okay? And the reason is because there seem to be a number of things that were different, and sometimes the Shittim Kubetzis quotes the Ritva, sometimes a lot of times, and it's not the same thing as we have printed here. Anyway, so it's generally accepted that this was not really the Ritva, but some it was a Rishon, Talmud of the Rashbo, but probably not the Ritva. But whatever he was, you'll see why it's important in a second. Whatever he was, it is what he deals with this question on Chof Testament Beis in Bav Metzia. It says, V'kashalon, Hod Omar, Reish Per Kamad of Pesach Rishon. The Pesachim is split into two sections. We have one Masech, the Pesachim, but the second half is called Pesach Sheni. And the first half is called Pesach Rishon. And that's why in some edition, the Arvei Pesachim really comes after. If you look in the Meiri, Perak Arvei Pesachim, which by us is the 10th Perak of Pesachim, is printed in the Meiri earlier in Pesachim. Anyway, so it says in Pesachim, Nichalele Deliavid Mitzvah Bevi Gub Memonu, V'yesh Lomar, your answer, Yankee's answer. Hasam ihu gufei avod, aval acher de leved mamone below daite behov adalo nichalei. That's it. One teretz that he gives, he says, yeah, I'm willing to spend money for myself to do a mitzvah. That's the case in Pesachim. In other words, we don't call it a mekach tos, huh? I get credit. It's my money, and I'm getting the credit for the mitzvah. It's my mitzvah, right? But that doesn't mean that I want my thing used by somebody else for his mitzvah. The two cases aren't the same. In Pesachim, I'm doing the mitzvah myself, b'dikas chametz, so I'm happy to spend a few dollars to fulfill the mitzvah, b'dikas chametz, properly. It's my mitzvah, bo, exactly. It's my own mitzvah. Mashiach okay, in the case in the Sefer Torah, I don't want necessarily that my Sefer Torah should be, you know, passed around from person. It's nice that they're learning from it, but you know, that doesn't mean that the one doesn't necessarily flow from the other. Okay. Then he has another teretz. He says, "V'rash tiretz b'sefer ha'ora." So the sefer called the Sefer Ha'ora, which is attributed to Rashi, the base message of Rashi. I don't remember what Rashi means. I'm not sure. He says, "V'rash tiretz b'sefer ha'ora." We usually call it the Sefer Ora. Shefta once told me that, I mentioned this Thursday night, I think that he heard, I think, from Rabbi Tversky's Albacha, from the Rav's son-in-law from Boston, that's really the Sefer Ora. So not Ora light, but Ora from teaching. Whatever it is, it says, V'rash Tirit, the Sefer Ora, Dehochi Kamar Sachdam, Nechalele Mebed Mitzvah B'monei, Kamashon Dolo Nichalei Mitrei Mitzvahs, Shilamed Behen Hashol Bishay Yashilim La'acher. Well, I'm okay with a mitzvah being done with my stuff, but not two mitzvahs. Not that you should borrow that, I'm okay. Now you're going to borrow it, he's going to learn from it too, that I'm not. Okay, those are the roots of it. The first teretz of this ritva is the one that the Yaki said, is different than doing it myself and somebody else doing it. And that's also the teretz that's given, hurry up, we'll skip a few things because it's getting late, but it's also the teretz given by the Nemuka Yosef in Baba Basu, Daf Mem Dal and Beis, also quotes that teretz. I made a fuss about who the ritva was here, because in the new edition of the ritual, the Chidush HaRitvah, that's printed as part of the set from Moshe Rav Kook, and they have the whole introduction. You know, in the introduction he mentions why they think that the old thing's not the right, and this is the correct one. It was with Ksav Yad for many years, in a manuscript form. Anyway, they're totally different teretz. Okay? I mean, I'm not dismissing the other teretz. It's from Rishon. It just may not be the ritual. It seems not to be the ritual. But here in the ritual, in the authentic, shall we say, Chidush HaRitvah, he says the same problem. He says, the difference is as follows. Pirish Kamash Valon de Baha Kabo de Ika Kpeda la Kilkul Ha Sefer Lo Nichale. Why won't I want to lend the Sefer Torah out? You know, I mean, you ever see a Sefer Torah at the end of Simchas Torah? Rahman, I mean, it's terrible. You know, it's twisted. And, you know. So a Sefer can be passed around, or even if it's not a Sefer Torah, but in those days, what papers are written on, it was flimsy. You know, you pass it, it'll crumble. It'll get. I don't want it passed around to 10 people. It's very nice that this other guy's going to do a mitzvah, but it's going to ruin my item. I mean, I want to preserve it very, very carefully. So that's why, in the case over there, that's what he says. I'm not being a bum by not letting this guy use my Sefer Torah for mitzvah. I don't want it to get ruined. You know, it's rather expensive and it's fragile. Again, in those days, it was true about, I mean, fine now. I have here some old swarm. You open it up and it crumples. I mean, the pages just, almost disintegrate after a while, huh? Oh, when it comes to, exactly right, when it comes in a moment. So, it's an item that, I guess, perhaps today's Swarm, we'll see, maybe a different, but that's the Ritvah's Teretz. He says, the Hayotus Chorav Seidu, Ki Ayom Mochol, Lo Yelo Sefer. Then I won't have a Sefer. It's very nice. He'll do a mitzvah. So you have to lend it to six people, so I won't have any Sefer anymore to learn from. Right? Abu Midi de Leka Chashash, Leka Shum Chashash Kilko. But if it's an item where there's just that Chashash doesn't exist, it's not something's going to get ruined, Vava Yochol Mitzvah. So now we come to this psak in the Ritva, and the authentic Ritva, the Ritva is saying like this, when it's an item that's possibly going to get ruined, so then we apply the rule, and we assume that a person does not want somebody borrowing, and therefore you cannot borrow without permission. But if it's a type of item which is not going to get ruined by use, what's the difference? It doesn't matter if it's used or once or twice or 10 times, not really going to get ruined, or there's no noticeable distinction. I guess everything you use is something, but you know, not. So then he says, there's no problem, and it's mutter, yochol lishol, vada yochol lishol shalom idas habayim lemebed mitzvah. You can definitely borrow without permission for a mitzvah. Kagon, imotza talis o tfilin shol chaver beis hakneses. Says openly, you see a talis in the shul, so I'm going to put on a talis, half fast, going to get ruined? We're not going to go rolling around in the mud. He's just going to wear the talus. It's not going to get ruined. Or tefillin. As long as you put it back to this place where it was before. You're not considered a gazlan, having violated din of shol shalom mikdas, shol shalom mikdas gazlan. Not in this case. So that's the chiluk that the Ritva draws. To solve the problem, but forgetting about, it's nice that we solved the stira, huh? That's what it looks like. That if it looks like it's a type of thing, by using it, it could get, could possibly get damaged. I guess you have to weigh, how do you calculate, but yeah, if it's something that's some kind of an antique or something that's very fragile or brittle or something like that, then you shouldn't use it even for a mitzvah, but that's what he mentioned. In the footnote, he says, the kachi b'chadush rabbein l'baba basra, I'm not going to read it all now, but he quotes in Uka Yosef, and many we've shown him in the Rosh, he quotes many we've shown him, which I'm not going to read inside now, make that particular distinction. There's a contemporary sefer, Talmud Chochmah Eretz Yisrael of Noson Gestetner, has a collection of Shalos and Tshuvos called Lahoros Noson. Shalos Tshuvos Lahoros Noson. So in Chelek Vav, Chelek Hoshim Mishpat, Sim Kuf Chav Zayin, and Kuf Chav Ches, he has a bunch of material relevant to this subject. It starts off. Al Dvar, the Bodak Lambinin, Hasforim Hamuvoim, I de Bachure Hayeshiva Mibesan. The typical base medrash shayla. Guy brings all his Sforim to the base medrash, right? Kigon Mefarsham, Masecht on the Medis. He's got all the Mefarsham on the Masecht that's learning. And they leave in the base medrash, and can other guys in the Yeshiva use it? That's, he goes through, many things, in this particular Indian. He quotes another Teretz, another possible distinction, between, and really, it says in the Mordechai, and lady says the Prichodah seems to be another distinction, there might be a difference. When do I say Nichalela Adum Mebed Mitzah? That's when I know that a mitzah is being done. Even if I'm not doing it myself, but I know that a mitzah is being done. So then I'm happy that it's being done. But how can you say that I'm happy? I didn't even know about it. In the case of the Sefer Torah, the borrower, he's now lending it to a third. I didn't know about it. So you can't say Nichalela Mebed. Okay, that's another teretz. The truth is that some sofer says that there's a truth about it. It's not a good teretz. Anyway, we're not going to have time to go into all that. I just want to read a couple of other statements that are relevant to this subject. Jackie just alluded to one of them, and then we'll wrap up. The Mechaber writes in Orach Chaim Siman Yud Dalad, Siv Dalad, Mutar Litol Talas Chavero, Ulevarech Aleha, Ubevad Sheyakpilosa Imotzim Kupelas. He says it's mutter to borrow a talis, means even without permission, and you're meant to make a bracha over it. So I'm not going to that problem right now. As long as you fold it back up, if you found it folded, right? And if you found it folded, then usually don't just drape it over the back of the chair, right? You have to fold it back. And there are more adds, who are din betfillin, okay? And also tefillin, but then he says, avol also lumo misorim shochaver below midaito. But not sorim. We'll see in a second. Why? The chashin, he says why? The chashin and shema yikra osom belimudo. And that's Edgar's distinction. Apparently in those days, anyway, the Sfarim were much more flimsy and much more likely to tear, and therefore a pair of tefillin, a pair of tzitzis, borrow them. But Sfarim, not. Mogen Avraham writes in Sivkotten, Yud, first of all, I just mentioned the Bir HaGrua. Yeah, treated it, yeah. Maybe the bindings weren't good, I'm not sure, I don't know. But
you say in those days.
Yeah.
100 years ago, we have them, so we see that it was good.
Right. So,
400 years ago, we don't know.
They're still libraries. Yeah. You see, what they call incunabula, I think they're called before 1500, before PA. Yeah. It's sturdier. It's sturdier. Yeah. 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 Huh? Yeah. It was treated with something. Yeah. 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 Right. But it's treated also with something. I think that's right. It doesn't turn yellow. I forgot everything. Okay. Anyway. I think I call it incunabula, I think is the technical scholarly term for something before, books before 1500. Anyway, the Bir HaGrua writes, and that's Simon Yudalit, he writes, the Mokom Pseida lo Amrina Nichalei Linish. The Gra accepts that reason. When there's a loss, then we don't say a person is happy to have a mitzvah done with his stuff. But not when there's no loss. Mokom Avraham writes, when it comes to Sforim, the Chashin and Shema Yikra Behen, Harbe, Achi Yikar, Mirod, Pashmid, we're afraid he's going to rip it, okay? And then he mentions the Sugi, the Psach by Tuchus Pesach. Okay, so and otherwise it'll be a problem of Shol Shalomidaz. That's an interesting question. I was thinking about that, because certainly by Talis, we're for a long time, Shvitz on it, I don't know. It's an interesting question. But I guess for a half hour, 40 minutes, they're not much good, yeah. Yes, that's on the borrow. Someone's from Mr. Who's left handed.
left-handed, and everybody else, his father's right-handed. So the kid just started bringing tefillin. So he used to leave his tefillin in school for the weekend. He's constantly was borrowing my tefillin. I got to the point where I said, I go to the Mission Brewer, and I said, here's how a right-handed person can convert his tefillin
to a left-handed son.
And yesterday, I
never bought
it. He never left
the
school anymore.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, it's nice to pine. This mention also the Ramor Paskins in Hilchas Lulav in Siman Tov or Chaim Siman Tov Reish Mem Tes Sif Hey Umutar Lito Lulav Shel Chavero Below Das Chavero of the Shar Yomim. And not, obviously not the first day of Sukkot, because the first 2 days they did a Lachem, a different problem. Right. But Lachem.
Right. Yeah, but let's say the person wants someone else to do it.
Says, I'm
not talking about
it. Whatever
he has in mind,
yeah, so now,
anybody else
so actually, right, so Achronim have that discussion, and actually in the footnote in that Ritva, I don't know now, the footnote in that Ritva distinguishes, does it make it enough yours for Lachem? It may make it enough yours, permission to use it, but not enough for Lachem.
He
says Bishar Yomim. Okay, and the Mishabur writes, in Sifkot Lamed Gimel, the Yom Rishon lo mahani ma denichalei, the habina lachem sheish lo mamish. So that's the chiluk. I'm not going to turn now. There's a lot of issues on this topic, but it could be enough yours that it's not so someone else gazlan, but not enough yours for lachem. I can't go into the reason now. Then he writes in Sivkot Lamed Dalid, Kevon Dein Chashash Kilkul B'Mashenot Lo Menameyabo. Apparently that's not. It's just waving a little bit. That's not going to ruin it. Okay. Al Kain Lo Domi Zel Lo Men Misayfer Chaver Shlo Midas The Osmei Shechosh Bo Shlo Yikal Kelav. It's not the same thing. You're going to worry that it's going to get ruined. But he writes, Kosov Primogodim Shadavka Pam Achas Mutov. Your case. You can do it once in a while, not regularly, right? But if this guy every day is going to come and use the other guy's little answer, not already, maybe not. After the Machbid Vosser, maybe that I am Machbid. And he says, very important. If the guy's there, or he's right next door, you can ask him easily, then you're supposed to ask. Don't rely on this if it's easy enough to check with the person. I don't exactly know how far you have to go, but he says that we don't rely on the chazaka that a person will be okay with it, if you're makom shichol levaro bekal. Okay, Mishabur, in Sivkot Lamed Dalad, there in Hilchos Lulav. Okay, the kol shekainim yodea bo shu makbid, da'osu medina lo toslo midato. Unless you know that this guy, certain type of people, this person never likes something like that. Right, do not touch, or do not, right, I told you before, right, not to. Okay, then you're not allowed to do it. Again, there's more to say on this point. I'm going to skip a little bit because the hour is a little late. I just want to finish. The Mishnah Berurah back in Siman Yud Dalad mentions of Kotan Yud Gimel, you're allowed to use a talus again. Pir Shalom Midato Nichalei Leinish Lomeb Mitzvah Mone, but Bedafke Bakroi. In your case, once in a while, of the Kriyas Oser and Vafil Bakroi. Another important point: Dafke Baoso Makom. You can use it in that place. Avalahutziyom Mibeisol Lebeis Hakneses or Ipcha Oser. To take it out of his house or out of the shul, wherever he left it, that you're not allowed to do. The Efsu Shemakpid Allah, Bahavi Gezel. That may be Makpid. When a guy wants to use it right here, in the yeshiva, sometimes right in the swarm, within the Haram or something like that, the guy writes inside the Sefer, Mutal Ishtamish, Makomo, Mutal Ishtamish, within the Haram. Right? But otherwise, he might be Makpid. And again, as we mentioned the Prima Gadam before, you should take a look. But both of these posts can say not so by swarm. And the reason seems to be, I said before that the Sforim, might rip. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, in Sivkot in Tes Zayin, again, this is back in Sim Yud Dalet, Va'olam Noagin Kishemotzim Siddur Tfilah, O Machzer Beis HaKnesses, Shalokin Oso Kedelis Balabo. The meaning in the world is that, there's a Siddur or a Machzer lying around, and I'm not talking about it belongs to the Shul, and people use it. But he writes, V'eini Yodei Hetelazeh. I don't know why. I don't know why there should be a heter. He doesn't say there should be a heter. However, just to be melamed zchus, so this, might take it home. In this tshuva from Mahoros Noson, in the second tshuva, he does make the following possible distinction that maybe will be melamed zchus. He says, Yitochen Lomar in Os Yud Beis, Yitochen Lomar, the dafka bizmanim hakadmonim shasorim hayuksubim, right? You didn't have so many svarim proliferating, and you know, it was a much different kind of thing. So people were makbid, you know, that it might get ruined or torn. Aval bizman hazeh, the ikar svarim tuva. There's so many svarim. V'achshe darin, in this case, the things have improved that everybody has svarim. Shasvarim mitzuyim biad kol adam. U'mikol shekein sifrei mefarshim ha-mesechtes ha-limodos b'yeshivas. Devada shem mitzuyim. You know, the yeshivas learning Bava Kama, whatever. There's tons of, the whole base life is full of svarim on Bava Kama, whatever. Yesh lomo da-havi b'geder hefsed mu'at. So he's suggesting, the contemporary Rav is suggesting, I mean, in general, just mention the whole idea of paper. Today, it's a joke. You know, people thought, you know, you're printing something on a computer, makes one mistake, paper goes in the garbage. When it came, you know, at one time, and even not that long ago, I think, you know, even 50 years ago, people, you know, they got an envelope. You didn't throw out an envelope. You wrote on the back of the envelope, right? You know, people would save paper, and to the other side. To the point that, and I'm not going to it now, but in Hilchos Shabbos, paper is categorized as muktzah machmas son kis. That there is, you know, according to some poskim, it's muktzah because it's, you know, a financial thing. It's a joke. You go to, you know, Staples or you buy a ream of paper for 19 cents. It's like, you know, but at one time, so that's what the Sefer Lahoris Nosson, he's a little bit malamik. Let me just conclude with two final points. One is that this Shaila could touch on, I know we're talking about lending svarim. There's an interesting thing that I was referred to in a medical case. This is a whole different Shaila, but it really, yeah, well, here's the case. This is a sefer called Nishmas Avram. Nishmas Avram was written by Rav Avram, Sofer Avram, by Abraham S. Abraham, to a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, was Mekurav to Shlomo Zalman, and I believe the head of Shai Tzedek, I think, was the chief doctor and one of the chief big Talmud Chacham. He's written numbers of volumes on Svarim on medical issues. So one of them is called Nishmas Avram. So Chelek Dalad commenting on Sofer Avram and Chosh Nishmas and Reishman Gimel. So he has in a footnote the Hashtolas Meach Etzem, bone marrow transplants. What if you have a situation where there's a kid, you know, who's not a little kid, is found to be a match, you know, for some kind of person who's in need of a bone marrow transplant, and the kid is not obviously a bardas, the little kid is not a bardas to say, yeah, I'm willing to give that one. Do the parents have the right to, that's the question, right? And the fact of the matter is, I mean, there is a certain amount of pain, I'm assuming, right, Dr. Zucker, is, you know, when people donate bone marrow transplants, it's quite a procedure, and there's pain suffered by the, you know, by the donor. So do the parents have the right? So he says, Amar Ganim Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shlita, I mean, Shlomo Zalman is still alive, Shemuta Lakachas Yelad Ketorim, Imu Bardaz, Umaskim was there, Kedei Lahatzos Ben Mishpacham, into Sakharas Nefashos. But if the kid agrees, okay, but Imu Hadayin Lohi Yelagilios Bardaz, it's a pivotal case. You're talking about possibly life and death. Right? I mean, talk about Michal Leilinish Lemedbid Mitzvah, right? We can assume that it hurt. On the other hand, here there is a certain hefset, at least in the physical sense. On the other hand, a kid, I mean, you know, it does touch on this issue a little bit. Finally, this will finish, Mamish. Finally, the question was raised before. The Shulchan Aruch mentions, I'll read it from the Shulchan because it's simply more. And he elaborates on it. At the very end of Simon Kuf Samach Gimel of Chosh Mishpat, so in the Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Siv Vav, where the Mechayi Aruch Shulchan quotes it in Siv Yud Zayin, he writes that there was an old takana, old nimtzah v'takana, so an old takana, the Ramah calls it takana zakadmonim, the Misha Eino, there were a few takanas, so one of them is here, sorry. The nimtzah v'takana zakadmonim, shalola hoti talas o sefer mi beis hakneses, believer shuz balim, Usarm shall be sakneses, believe Shus Hamunah, the Limud Shah, I'm sorry.
the chain rubo tal so acha da koi mutsa afo de dir the nichol elin is the nevi mitzvah mona. Okay, the old takana, when it's an old takana, it could be for like a chayim, perhaps a chayim ben ugershom, the Avni Nezer has in a tshuva, the last tshuva, one of the last tshuvas in the chilek yoredeya, simon tof ayin tes, he writes that if somebody takes something out, yesh lefakbeik, Kilito sor mi beis hamedish habes shalom shalom mi chol shalom dazal abisiagul iser lo sigzol. He said very very strongly, and the Moshe Feinstein also has a truth about it. And that's the last segment tonight. The Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe Choshen Mishpat Helik Aleph Simon Lamed Test Bidvar Likach Svarim Shalom Bishus Min Bote Knesios. He mentions even if there's nobody, you know, as he says. Even if nobody's learning there and it's not going to harm anybody, nevertheless, it's not proper to take Svarim out Shalom Bishus, and it's a violation of this old takana. So to take it out of a place would certainly not be allowed. And again, there's a lot more to say about this subject. Just a general rule, finally, is that to use somebody's item which is not going to be ruined there in the place for the purpose of a mitzvah would seem to be mutter, but you know, it's something that might get ruined or certainly take it someplace else would be a violation and you know, would put you in the situation of Shaul Shlomidaz, who's like a Gaza.
Leaving an opiate medication?
If you're leaving an opiate, that you're...
Okay, you're borrowing it.
Yeah, here's what I tell you, I'm sure.